Let's all take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 14. The book of Proverbs, chapter 14. Call your attention to verse 14. Let's all stand together as we read this one verse. And let's read it in unison, everyone all together, in verse 14. Ready? The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Mm-hmm. We that are saved are prone to backslide. And it's when we're filled with ourselves. I'm not preaching about backsliding this morning, but I am going to give you an example in the Word of God of those that have backslidden. This morning, pitch in your tent. You'll find out more as we go through the message. Heavenly Father, bless as the preaching goes forth. Pray that you give me power and strength to preach. Lord, that we all might learn and grow, and that your Holy Spirit might have its way within our life and convict us where we have backslidden. Lord, that we might be willing to get out of that condition this morning. You're more than powerful to help us and get us right with you. I pray that we would yield to you this morning. Have your way in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When we're saved, we have eternal life. And nothing can take that away from us. It is constant. When we do not take care of our eternal life, keep it important in our busy lives, we point our attention toward the world rather than God, church, the Bible, praying. We backslide. We're not as close to God as we were before. We don't do the things that God told us to do. We don't obey. We get proud and stubborn. We only think what's best for us, what's easy for us. That's a terrible condition to be in. It's even worse than getting sick with the cold or the flu or anything else that our body experiences. Go to Ezekiel chapter 18. What? Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 26. Well, let's start with verse 25 because Israel was trying to argue with God, saying that his way was not a fair way. In verse 25, God says, "Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, house of Israel, is not my way equal, and not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done, shall he die." This is not talking about spiritual death. This is not talking about your spiritual life. It's talking about your body, your life down here on earth. You've done righteously. You've done the right thing. That's what righteousness is. Doing the right thing that God has said. He says in verse 26, when he turns away from his righteousness and he commits iniquity and it causes his death, he dieth in them. For his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. You can cause your own death. You can be foolish. Not doing right is foolish. It's iniquity, God says. We need to learn that just because we're at one station in life doesn't mean you're always going to be in that one station. You can become a fool even when you were wise before. And down you go. And it may even cause you death. There is a sin unto death, the Bible talks about. He's talking to Israel here. That's what happened with Israel. They were doing right. They were having revival and everything you just read. Then they went to the idols. They got their eyes off of God. They stopped doing right. They went up and worshiped idols. Everything came apart at the seams then. And such is Israel today. Israel not knowing the real God. Because the real God is Jesus. Don't accept him. My, they used to be on top. Now it's not Saul. So, you remember Saul, King Saul, in 1 Samuel 15, where Samuel got the commandment from the Lord to kill all of the Amalekites and so forth, and Saul didn't do it. His kingdom was taken away because of that. Because he would not annihilate all of the people that God said. God knew better than Saul. Well, I'm going to do it my way. Bad attitude to have. Down King Saul went. He was doing right as a king, and then he got his eyes off of God, got his jealousy up for David, and started hunting him for no reason. Just that David had done so many great things, he was jealous of him. Finally, he died in battle. Not only that, but Jonathan too. Got to watch out when you're straightened out, you're doing right, living for God, and you let your guard down. You do something stupid. You do something rebellious, you won't learn. You won't obey. Filled with pride, the oldest sin in the Bible, in history. Remember Solomon in 1 Kings 11. He had all of the wisdom, the wisest man in the world, and then he turned to thinking about himself. He had 700 wives, 300 concubines. You see, the Apostle Peter, as he followed the Lord Jesus Christ, and in his pride, he said, "I'll never forsake you. I'll never deny you." But in Matthew 26, you see that he did. The rooster crowed, the cock crowed, because he had denied Jesus more than once. You see the Corinthians as well. Same type of thing happening. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 if you would. Second Timothy chapter 4. Here's the Apostle Paul ready to die. Prison, he says in verse 7 that he fought a good fight. He was still on top even though he was in prison. I've kept the faith. But guess what he says in verse 10? For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia, only Luke is with me. So here's Demas. He abandoned the Apostle Paul while he was in prison. He forsook him. Certainly hurts when a close Christian friend does that to you. Demas did it. You remember Lot in the Old Testament. He went from being with a godly man, his grandfather, and then right down to the very bottom into Sodom and Gomorrah. Interesting, as you turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, to your right a few pages. Second Peter chapter 2, it says this of Lot. It says in verse 6, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Take your pen there and underline in verse 7, just Lot. He was justified. He was a just man in the wrong place. In verse 8, underline righteous man. Hmm. What happened to Lot? Why is Lot in the Bible? It's an example of how low a righteous man can go and live just to make money, just to get rich. His soul was vexed because he was a righteous man. He loved God. But you'd never know it by the way he lived. That's how low you can go in your life also. Go to Genesis chapter 13 this morning. Genesis chapter 13. We'll see some things that happened here with Abraham and Lot, his nephew. Genesis chapter 13, it says, "And Abram went up out of Egypt." You might want to underline some of these things in your Bible, because you're going to give an account whether you understand what you're reading or not. Just don't come to church to fill up a space in a pew. God wants you to grow. God wants you to understand. God wants you to obey Him. Understand life for your good, your children's good, your wife, your husband's good. He got up out of Egypt. He didn't stay in Egypt. And his wife and all they had, and Lot with him, into the south. Now, I'm not preaching against you, Bev, but you're about to go into the south, Lot did. Kidding aside, it says, "And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold." How many would say, raise your hand, was Abraham rich? Raise your hand. If that's true, raise your hand. What was he? He wasn't rich. Underline, very rich. He was very rich. Richest man in the world at the time. There was a man that lived in America, Jean-Paul Getty. Some of you old-timers may know him. He was a multi-billionaire. We're used to billionaires today, but not back then. Money only brought problems to him. Yes, he was very rich also. You need to keep your wisdom when God blesses you. Not leave God. Abraham was father of the Jews. God blessed Abraham, boy. Gave him the Abrahamic covenant in chapter 12. He walked by faith. Strong man, Genesis 13 there. And in verse 2, or in verse 3, it says, "And he went on his journeys from the south, even Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning." You find that in chapter 12, verse 8. "Between Bethel and Hay, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord." Boy, if that isn't a good thing to do. Do you do that during your daily life? You call upon the name of the Lord. There has to be one day where you call upon Him for salvation. But then through your spiritual life, you need to be calling upon Him. Not for salvation, you already got that. But for help and guidance. For strength to go through what you have to as you live for Him down here. In verse 5 it says, "And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great." Underline, "for their substance was great." So that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. What do you learn from that? In verse 6, their substance was great. In other words, Lot had a lot of stuff. And when you accumulate in this life a lot of stuff, it'll cause strife. And you have to separate from other people that you love, even. Money and the things of this world and a bunch of stuff and material things that you gather together will cause separation. It's what happens in marriages many times. It's what happens in the corporate world. That's what happens in church. You don't find rich people coming to our church, do you? No. They got too much stuff than to go to that old country church. That's what happened. That started with Lot. And where he ended up. Verse 8 says, "And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife." God's against strife. You got strife in your home. You got strife in churches. We definitely got strife in our nation. There's no doubt about that. Half are for the right, half are for the wrong. He says, "Because we're brethren," in verse 8, "is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right." Abraham saying this. "Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted up his eyes. Underline his eyes. Earthly vision, brother. What's best for me? "And beheld the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord," Garden of Eden, "like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated," underline separated, "themselves, the one from the other. Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom." That seems to be the problem. The old pull of the world. Because Lot had so much stuff, He wasn't gonna be able to be around Abraham anymore. In verse 8, it told us that Abraham said, we shouldn't be feuding. We shouldn't have strife. Because of all of this, you take whatever you want there, Lot. You want to go this way, left, or you want to go to the right, I'll take the other, that's fine. Abraham was a wise man. He faltered many times. The wise do. They're not perfect. But you see what happened. He said, we shouldn't be feuding in front of the world. How many Christians lose their testimony because they're out in the world, maybe at a restaurant or something, or with other people and all of that? And the husband forgets the anniversary date of his wife. And the wife and the husband fight right in front of all of the relatives, the restaurant, and everything else. Yeah, people that say they're Christians do that stuff. Silly stuff. Foolish stuff. Marriages come apart because of that kind of stuff. No wisdom, just thinking of yourself. Complain, bicker. Where do you get that from? You're getting that from God. There's only one other power that can be affecting you, and that's the enemy of God. I want to show you four steps to backsliding quickly this morning. First of all, the selfishness of the world. You want to backslide? Get selfish. Just think of you. Don't think of anybody else. What's good for you? Verses 10 and 11. Lifted up his eyes. Ah, this is well watered, but boy, this will be good for me. This thing shouldn't even have happened. Out of respect, Lot was Abraham's guest. It was his brother's son. It's his nephew. And Abraham willingly took him in. And fed him and took care of him. And Lot went with Abraham. Abraham provided for him. But with no respect, he said, what's in it for me? What Lot should have done is, Father Abraham, you pick what you want. And I'll take the rest. You can always tell when somebody's backslidden. Don't think of anyone else. Put anyone else before them in their life. Didn't bode very good with Lot because of that. He said there in verses 10 and 11, it was like the Garden of Eden. And boy, he had all kinds of stuff. I mean, Lot probably had a tent there, 12 rooms in the tent. He probably had a 4-camel garage. He had everything you could think of. But it wasn't enough. He had to get down into the world. Forget what was going on down there. It'll be good for me, so I'm going down in there. Forget about what God said. Forget about Abraham. verses 12 and 13. The thing that really started it was he could have pitched his tent in any direction that he wanted, but he put the front door right so he could see that wicked city he's planning on going down into. You let the world get your attention, and you'll find yourself backsliding, not having enough time for church, reading your Bible every day, praying out loud, getting close to God, having devotions, not caring about others. The first verse we looked at in Proverbs 14:14 was the backslider in heart. In heart, where you make your decisions, you're making dumb decisions, you're making worldly decisions, you're not doing what's right. We're supposed to be upright Christians, keeping the law, following the rules, doing what's right. When you don't do that, you're going to hurt yourself and everybody around you that you're connected to, too. He looked to the world. Now, we already read back over in Peter that he was a righteous man. And the homosexuals that were there in Sodom, they were Sodomites, vexed his soul. He knew it was wrong as he saw these men every day doing their ungodly deeds. But he didn't leave. He put up with it. He tried to raise his children, his daughters, right? He had a family altar. That's what righteous men do. And God said he was a righteous man. He was a just man. Tried to teach his kids right. It's funny, when it came time, when the angel showed up with Abraham, and the angel said, we're going down to Sodom and we're going to destroy that city. He knew his nephew was down there and he started bargaining with God. Oh, if I find 50 righteous down there, you'll hold off, right? He said, yeah, hold on. And he went right down 40 and so forth. He said, no, I can't even. What if I find 10 righteous men in Sodom, will you hold off your destruction? And they couldn't find 10 righteous men. Just Lot. That means his daughters, the men they married, weren't righteous. Just one. You don't know how many people you affect. You're just the one, you say. Yeah, you are the one that God chose to be the example, to be the witness. You get part of the world, and everything starts coming apart. Go to chapter 19. We're seeing how low a backslider can go and still be called righteous. Amazing. So the first thing is the selfishness of the world gets in your life. Secondly, you looked to the world, as we saw in verses 12 and 13. He looked to the world. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. And now he's part of the world. Chapter 19. Because here's these angels. There came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them and bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly. Lot was trying to get these angels not to stay in the street because he knew the wicked men that were there. He knew the Sodomites, the homosexuals, the gays were there and what they would do to them. He says, and they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed them upon them greatly, and they turned into him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and he did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Did you understand here that angels appeared as men, and they ate? They did eat the unleavened bread, the feast that he made. In verse 4, "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." That word "know" is a sexual word in the context. They wanted to have sex with them. "And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." Look at that. He's talking to these gays that make love, men with men and women with women. He calls them brethren. It's the last thing I'd call them. "Do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man." In other words, they're virgins. "Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as it is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." How far can you go down in your backsliding? He offered his innocent daughters to these wicked men. Fathers and mothers are supposed to protect their children, love their children, instruct their children. This backslidden, righteous man is what he said. Lot went in verse 11, "And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness," the angels did. "And they wearied themselves to find the door." The angels have great power, obviously. "And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. It's pretty bad when you try to warn your relatives. A lot of Christians don't even try to warn their relatives. They just want to get along with them. Don't rock the boat. Even when Lot tried to warn his relatives, his son-in-laws, they mocked him. They made fun of him. If you're a righteous man, Lot, why are you living down here in the middle of Sodom? It's amazing the things the relatives don't say to your face, but that's what goes on. It says in verse 15, when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, he waited, he put it off. Listen, God is not going to change for you. There's nothing to linger about. He said, get out. Run for your life. Is that what you're doing today? You're just going to put it off. You're going to stay in your backslidden condition. You're not going to do right. You're going to go against the rules. You're not going to obey. You're not going to live like a Christian should. You just want your own way. Here he was. In verse 16, while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city, outside the city. Lot was just hemming and hawing after everything that had gone on. The angels can't believe him. They're out of their minds. What are you waiting for? They had to grab them. Him and his wife and his daughters, and dragged them out of Sodom. You talk about a stronghold, brother. Backslidden Christians. No power. No wisdom. No closeness with God. What was the problem with Lot way back when he was with Abraham? The problem that Lot had was in his heart, because Lot was walking with a man of God. Lot was not walking with God. You rely on some other man. Don't you get your eyes on someone else. You walk with God, it's got to be personal, just like your salvation is. And here it says in verse 17, it came to pass when they brought them forth abroad, he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee. You look, that's your eyes. What got Lot in trouble? He lifted up his eyes and saw. The angel said, don't look back. Backslidden Christians love to make a big deal out of the past. They're always looking back. They want to bring up things that were bad in the past, cause strife. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, not blessed are the troublemakers. Move on. Forget it. Get your eyes off of that. Get your eyes on the future. You walking with God, obeying what God said. God will change your life. He'll change your heart. He'll change your thinking. He'll change where you go, where you don't go. He'll change your clothes. He'll change everything about you. Get out of your backslidden condition. Are you Lot the second? They escaped to the mountain, it says in verse 17, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, O, not so, my Lord, behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which has thou hast showed me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. All of a sudden he's thankful to the angels, but he's afraid to go ahead in his life. There might be bad things out there. I got news for you, friend. Wake up. Be an adult instead of a child. There are bad things out there. That is not to stop you from living for God. Amen. Yeah, there are bad things. Some evil might come. God forbid that. There would never be a missionary on the mission field if they had that attitude. Excuses, excuses. And the problem is, you come down to verse 26, it says that his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward the land of the plain. And he beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. In verse 30, you see him down there. They went to a cave. Went to Zoar first, and then they dwelt in the mountain in a cave with his two daughters. His daughters enticed their father to have incest with them. Verse 36, and both, thus were both daughters of Lot by child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son, called his name Moab, and the same is the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son, and called his name Ben-Ammi, and the same is the father of the children of the Ammon unto this day. Where do Moabites and the Ammonites come from in the Bible? From Lot. Lot not moving ahead by faith. Sitting around feeling sorry for himself. In those days, they didn't have TV, radio, they didn't have GPS. When they were up on that mountain, they looked and all they saw was smoke and burning. They thought, maybe, everybody was gone. So they wanted to bring forth children to repopulate the earth. Maybe. But it's inordinate love for something. People love dogs and cats and anything else you can think of that's out of order love. Oh, let's. How many commercials you see on the TV about the dogs and shivering outside and everything? They want your heart to go out to the animals, but they want you to kill your children in the womb. Tell me we're not living in Sodom. She turned to salt because she turned around. She couldn't stand leaving Sodom. Boy, can you get attached to this world and the wickedness that's in this world? God turned her into a pillar of salt. That'll get your attention. Back in Luke 17, I close. Jesus called attention to this that I preached on this morning. And he said three words. Remember Lot's wife. How many of those things I preached about this morning resonate in your life? Reaping from the world is the last thing. Silence was from Lot. You don't hear him talking. After that shows the drunkenness that makes men forgetful. Makes them to be forgotten. You want God's blessing on your life and your family? You want your life to count for something before you die? And you will. Many of us sooner than we think. And a lot of times it doesn't have anything to do with age. You got to wise up from doing it your way. Change your heart. Let God change it. Change your mind. Repent. Live a new life for God. Put away the foolish things of children. Become men and women of God. Righteous. Learn the lessons from Lot, the example of how far down a backslider can go. Heavenly Father, I pray that you might bless the things that were preached this morning. Lord, the stories that we read, help us to take warning this morning. Help us not to take anything lightly. I pray that we will accept what you have said in the Word of God. Help us to be wise and not fools this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. In your hymn books, please.